Hello, my friends out there. Do you like my little song, the introduction? And at the end also, they play it. It reminds me of the call of the wild, but I call it the call of the soul. That one part, oh, it just feels, gives me goosebumps, you know? And I hope you feel the same thing too, because the call of the spirit and the soul should be what we are listening to develop ourselves spiritually, as I've mentioned on many shows before in the past. The spirit and soul are really the only things that matter in our life. Developing ourselves spiritually, I mean. Everything else is secondary. Our jobs, raising our children. Very important. They are indeed. However, our spiritual lives, and especially with women, with all the discrimination that's been going on throughout the years with them, sometimes I ask myself, I wonder where she is in her spiritual life, you know? If she were to die tomorrow, where would she be in the afterlife? And I believe that, as I've mentioned before, this life is like a school, and we're to graduate with honors, if you will. And so everything that we encounter on a day-to-day basis is to help us learn basic social values and develop ourselves spiritually, be kind to each other, and to evolve so that when we do one day, hopefully far out into the future, right, transition from this life to the afterlife, the other life, then we will take all that we've developed ourselves to be with us into the afterlife and thereby graduated from this planet of a lower evolutionary category existence and continue on our soul journey through the process of reincarnation to planets of higher evolutionary status. You dig it? Woo! My friends, it's been an interesting last 2 weeks for me, and I want to say that I think I almost died the other day when I was sleeping. I have sleep apnea. And that's honest. I'm telling you the truth about myself. Millions of Americans have it. Anyway, I made a doctor's appointment, and I know it's stopping breathing, you know, when you have sleep apnea, that's what happens. But I've had it before, these episodes. And this last time, I think I'm going to get the thing you put in your mouth, you know, to prevent snoring instead of the CPAP. But this last time, it was really powerful, and I thought I was going to die. And now I've felt like I was going to die before. And I've actually, in my life, had one time in particular, maybe a couple of others that have to think specifically. Well, you know, driving 130 miles an hour down a main street in Guadalajara, night when maybe a car could have come out of the side road. I mean, that would have been it, right? And I've driven a race car one time in Guadalajara. I had a Mustang Mach 1 with a 3-speed. I bought it here in San Antonio, and it was 1971. It wasn't the typical Mach 1. It had a 302 cubic inch engine compared to the normal Mach 1, which has a 351 cubic inch Cleveland engine. The normal Mach 1 also had a 4-speed. I had a 3-speed, but it was still a very beautiful car, a really good engine. And when my parents bought it for me here in San Antonio after I graduated from high school in Guadalajara, we drove it up. Well, before we drove it up to the States, we lived in San Diego. We moved to San Diego, but I had taken it down there for just a week or two, and we were in the process of moving, so I hung out with some of my friends for a while. And we got into my car one day on this back street in Guadalajara, in the community of where we live, this road that went up a hill, two lanes on both sides of the road, you know, and it was a pretty common place where cars would drag each other, race each other. Anyway, so back then, I would always accept the challenge if somebody wanted to race. You know, before that Mach 1, I had a Vega, Chevrolet Vega GT, which I used to race all the time. I had it up full speed, pedal to the floor a few times, and the top speed was about 90-some miles an hour. And anyway, that time I went 130 miles an hour. That was in my dad's Oldsmobile Tornado with a 455 cubic inch engine. But with the Mach 1 this one time, this Renault pulled up alongside me. And normally, you know, an 8-cylinder engine against a 4-cylinder engine, there's really no competition there. But I took off. We were going up this road, about to climb the hill. And I looked down at my speedometer. I'm going 100 miles an hour, and this Renault with a souped-up engine, I don't know what he had in this 4-cylinder engine, you know, besides headers and maybe a different carburetor. But he's side-by-side, and I'm like, wow, you know. And if a car had come out right in front of us, I mean, that would have been it. Either a death or serious injury, you know. So thanks to God, that didn't happen. And so the other time I almost died was when I was in the Army. I was in the infantry for 4 years, and we had a live fire, and we were firing rounds. And I had never put rounds down a tube before during a live fire. I had always been a driver ammo bearer, which is what the position is. So I would prepare the rounds for the mortar squad to send the rounds downrange. You know, we had a gunner and assistant gunner. The gunner would pair the sight, you know, and put all the data into the sight. We'd run the poles out. We'd get directions from our fire direction center. And then when we were ready, we would have the rounds waiting. It was maybe a 10-round fire for effect. We had 10 rounds that we had to send downrange. And so we were the number one gun, which means we were the fastest, and we competed with each other before. So we had a 10-round fire for effect, and we started putting rounds down the tube. Now, we did something that you're not supposed to do. Normally, it's the assistant gunner that is the only one that's supposed to put the rounds down the tube. But that was the first time I was assistant gunning, because I'd already been a driver, ammo bearer for a while. So they gave me a shot at that. And I was, you know, I'm not a dumb person, I think, by any means. Back then, pretty intelligent. I made it through basic training and AIT. You know, I wasn't drinking. I was staying in shape. I mean, during basic training and AIT, we were in really good shape, you know, towards the end. And so that continued on after I graduated from basic and AIT, and I went to Germany to Aschaffenburg with the 4th Infantry, and we were at this live fire. So I was in good shape. Actually, I'd been drinking at that time. So maybe I had something to do with it. I hadn't thought about that before. But anyway, so we were putting rounds down the tube. Myself, the assistant gunner, and the gunner, which I said we shouldn't have done. So the gunner put one down, boom. I put one down, boom. The gunner put one down, boom. And we were getting in a rhythm and trying to go fast because we were being timed, you know. We're on the clock to get the rounds down range as quickly as possible. So he put one down. I grabbed a round, and I put it on top of one that was coming out. Well, my reflex action, it didn't quite land squarely on the bottom of the round I had in my right hand. So it gave it kind of a glancing blow, and it didn't explode because the rounds are supposed to rotate so many times as they take off about a mile downrange. You know, and these are no firecrackers either. These are 81-millimeter mortar rounds, which have a killing radius of 35 meters. In other words, if you're within 35 meters where it explodes, you're likely to get killed. So anyway, this round, it jumped out of my hands and slid along the top of the track and just teetered on the edge. It was most unusual how it did that. And the charges, the gun-powered charges at the bottom of the round burned off and burned my wrist. I had little flecks of blood on my right wrist. But we didn't die, you know, I didn't lose my right hand. So that came pretty close to dying, you know. Although they say that that round that was coming out needed to rotate so many times, it possibly could have exploded, you know. So that was one time where I could have died. And so my point is that we never know if tomorrow is tomorrow is not guaranteed for any of us. And you know what I mean. Well, I've got a lot of things to talk about, my friend. I could talk for, I tell you what, hours and hours on these subjects that I prepared for today. There is so much to talk about, and 1 hour is going to fly by quickly. It already has. Well, I had mentioned to you before about the Bible, and I hope for anyone out there that might be listening, I didn't give them the wrong impression that I don't love the Bible and respect it for all the great wisdom and the history that it has of divine intervention in this world like never before. But there are some things I don't agree with in the Bible. I'm not going to talk about that right now. I've mentioned it before. But I want to practice something which I'm going to do for church tomorrow. We have Men's Day. I'm in the choir. And I have a solo. And so I thought this would be a great opportunity to practice something with you all. And it's the recitation of the 23rd Psalm. We're going to begin this song called I Owe It All by Norm Hutchins. And I had to lead into the song after I recite the 23rd Psalm. So that's going to be tomorrow in the church congregation in front of about 200 people. So I thought I'd give myself, I've been practicing, but I'm going to take this opportunity on my radio show to practice reciting the 23rd Psalm. And I don't take this lightly, my friends. Just because I don't believe everything the Bible says doesn't mean that I'm not a devout Christian or I am to be persecuted, you know. I realize that when I get to heaven, I don't know how many of you know this, but there's a king there called King David. He's got red hair. He wears a crown. And he goes around with a harp, a golden harp, and he sings beautiful praises to God. He is the ultimate praise master in heaven. When you get there, you are going to meet King David. And he is awesome to the 10th degree. And as you know, he wrote the Psalms. And so this psalm, the 23rd Psalm, is a beautiful, beautiful work of art, if you will, by King David. So here goes, the 23rd Psalm. I think about tomorrow in the church. I'm going to get the microphone. I look at the director. He gives me the okay. I look over to my left. I've got the piano player who's going to be playing a nice, beautiful tune for me to recite the 23rd Psalm to. And it goes, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy, goodness and mercy, shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then I lead into the song. It starts out, I say, I will. Choir repeats, I will. I shall, I must. Bless your holy name, for you are worthy to be praised. And then I repeat that, and then we sing the first verse of the song, and it goes, I owe it all, my Lord, to thee, for what you've done to set me free. No one else could pay what you paid for me. Lord, I owe it all, my life to thee. Anyway, when it comes to singing, I know a lot of songs, my friends, over 100 that I've memorized. I'd like to sing one to you right now. This is not related to tomorrow, but it's one of my favorite songs by Louis Armstrong called The Wonderful World. And I'll get back to my notes that I've taken and the subjects I'm going to talk about until the end of my show. But first, let me sing this song for you. And I'm going to be posting some songs on YouTube, Blake Ruby, BlakeRubie. I've got one in there now called Fly Me to the Moon by Frank Sinatra. And these are a cappella. From now on, they're going to be a cappella songs. I'm focusing on just singing a cappella, practicing on my own a cappella instead of using karaoke. I like that better because I can take my time and I can get the breathing better, you know. Anyway, so here's a song called It's a Wonderful World by Louis Armstrong. I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people passing by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, What a wonderful world. Okay, my friends, that's it. Now, let me get situated here and get to my notes. 6:22, I've got about 40 minutes left. Oh, I love it. I just love this show. And this is going to go kind of fast and furious here because I've got something else I want to read from you from this book called The Contact Has Begun, about these race of extraterrestrials that have been in contact with people here on Earth. I feel that part of our evolution includes contact with beings that I know, I just don't believe, I know that they exist out there. One thought came to my mind today, my friends. Is, you know, here on Earth, we have about 1 million types of insects. Imagine that. A creator that can create over 1 million types of insects. Isn't that awesome? Not to mention all the other species, if you will, the amphibians, mammals, reptiles, fish, birds, but insects. So just take like maybe a normal ant, if you will. Are you going to tell me that nowhere in the universe there's another ant on another planet? You know, we're discovering planets all the time with the new Kepler Space Telescope. Oh, how about a centipede or a beetle? You don't think that there's a beetle on the billions of other worlds that are out there, that we know are out there? There's got to be worlds like Earth with water. That is logical, my friends. And logic always trumps disbelief, if you will. So, on my last show, changing the subject, I talked about suicide, you know, because we just had those recent suicides. So I wanted to add something to what I said. So, rather than going back and talking about everything I mentioned on my last show, I'll say this. I've written some notes down here. So I talked about suicide and why people definitely, positively, absolutely should not. I say should not commit suicide. And these words, you know, not only are you hearing them, and not only are they being archived by DBS Radio, but these words are going out into the atmosphere. There's a psychosphere, if you will, my friends, if you've never heard about this before, where all the thoughts go as part of this world, because our planet Earth is actually a cosmic being in its own right, evolving like us. It's alive, my friends. Alive in a way perhaps you hadn't thought of before. And so these words, thoughts and words, go out into the psychosphere. So that's why it really behooves us to be careful with the words that we use and try to use positive words instead of negative words, because that is the intelligent thing to do. And we all pride ourselves on our intelligence, don't we? So, I can't remember when the last time was I swore. I've stopped myself from swearing recently, you know. It's hard to do. I would suggest, if you could, that you try it also. Try not to swear for maybe a day or 5 days or 7 days. Yeah, that's an intelligent thing to do. And there's a lot of smart, beautiful people out there. I know it. And I'm so impressed with people and just how intelligent and beautiful and wonderful and awesome and amazing they are. I'll talk a little bit more about this, especially actors and actresses in Hollywood these days. So talented and skilled, you know? Anyway, so in summary, what I said about suicide in my last show, you will make God angry, the creator of your soul and spirit. And is that what you want to do? Pass this on to whoever you know, my friends, that might be at risk, or just share this information. The God who created this planet and this solar system who possesses incomprehensible power and super incredible intelligence, you don't want him to be angry at you because you threw in the towel, you gave up, you quit, and I know, people have a lot going on in their lives, but there are ways to get by, for example, there's a hotline you can call. You can pick up the Bible. You can say a prayer. So, continuing on, because just like any good parent, you know, our Creator, our God, is caring. And you'll be punished. So people that commit suicide are punished. As simple as that. Not eternally, all right. Let's get that straight. There is no eternal damnation, in my opinion. Just you go to a place where there's no love, no hope, no light. Dark, dark place. So punished for an indefinite period of time until you get bailed out, so to speak, by prayer from a relative, either alive or deceased, or after completing a certain period of time in that timeless place. I'm just finishing up here. It's such a delicate subject. So to release suicides from their purgatory, remember this, my friends. If you want to release someone who you know committed suicide, and I've heard of people besides Anthony Bourdain and Katie Spade recently, Robin Williams is another example. Say a prayer for them. See, you can do it. It works. If you have the courage to say a prayer, it will work, my friend. Believe me. But it has to be very heartfelt and sincere. You understand? Asking the Creator, Spirit, Mother, and Father in heaven, God, or one God together when they merge their spirits, be like the Supreme Creator. Ask or just say, God, please be merciful on them, forgive them. Bless them. Bless their soul. Yes? Now you know, my friends. Okay? Simple? All right. Moving on. Okay. You never heard me talk about sports before. Yep. Sports. I'm a sports fan, my friends. But let me tell you all about it. Okay? Basketball. And who says I can't talk sports on my show? Sports is very big with some people, right? The World Cup's going on now, as you know, me personally. I try not to get too involved so I can think about other things. Still, I love sports. I have for many years. On the good side, you know, we follow men and women, hey, who are very talented and well-coordinated, right? And they can be like role models for us, you know? We can follow them, if you will. So, shifting pages here. So on the bad side of sports is the competition, right? Someone wins, yeah, and someone loses. More like, yay for the winners and for the losers. I try not to watch, as I said, sports on television because that's when I really get involved and become too emotional. So I just read about sports, and it is so entertaining. I love to get the morning newspaper and read. And I suppose I could be doing better things with my time, but I'm already pretty spun up on esoteric subjects. And sometimes just I want to stay objective and keep my feet on the ground for a while. You know, can you blame me? And in order to love everyone in this world, we can't exclude certain people because they compete with each other, right? I know there's a better way. I think cooperation is better than competition. But for the meantime, yeah, I do see some value in sports competition, especially with the Olympics, you know, for men and women. Hey, remember to pray for everyone, and that even sports players, and that most definitely will make the world a better place. So I was thinking about game one of the Cavaliers and the Warriors, you know, with the NBA finals. What happened at the end? Specifically, a tremendous performance from LeBron James, right? 51 points. Awesome. He is amazing. So it came down to free throws from George Hill, and he missed one. That's all right. That happens. Extreme pressure leads to misses, right? And then that extreme pressure also affected J.R. Smith. But let's say that George Hill had gotten both of those free throws, and the Cavs are up by one with about 4 seconds left. The Warriors take a timeout. Chances are very slim that they will score. Game over. Cavs pull off one of the most incredible upsets in basketball history, right? But as you know, the game ended in a tie, and the Warriors won in overtime. After that, LeBron kind of gave up, agreed. You blame him after all that effort, and then, boom, understandable big time. I mean, he had done so much to get the Cavs to the finals, and then they were on the verge of beating the Warriors on their home court. His teammates let him down. Be a champion, one has to do what a champion does. Now, I understand, you know, how George Hill and J.R. Smith must feel, but, you know, they have to go on with their lives, too. It happens. We all make mistakes. But do you think if LeBron had been taking those free throws, he would have missed either of them? Probably not. So, LeBron, on what could have been the most famous championship in NBA history for the Cavs and cementing yourself as the greatest of all time, God favored the Warriors instead. If I was you, and I'm not, I would go join the Warriors. Now, wouldn't that be a team that everyone could love, right? Okay, changing the subject again, my friends. Ancient Aliens. How many of you like that show Friday night on the History Channel? I don't like saying this. I'm going to say it, though. One would have to have the mind of a kindergarten student to not believe we have been visited by extraterrestrials in our past. The evidence is overwhelming. It's there. It's conclusive. We need look no further to prove that there is life elsewhere in the universe. And to back that up, let me ask you to watch a video on YouTube. If you have an open mind, I guarantee you, it will convince you that extraterrestrials are out there, there is life elsewhere in the universe, that we have been interacting with by many, about 60 separate species in our history from other planets around the universe, not only in the Milky Way galaxy. The name of the video is called Fast Walkers. I might have mentioned it to you on a previous show. Fast Walkers, my friend, the Disclosure Project, headed by Dr. Stephen Greer, one of the most, if not the most smartest man in the world. He knows all about extraterrestrials. Oh, my God, that man is so, so, so smart. Dr. Stephen Greer, G-R-E-E-R. Okay, changing the gears again, my friends. And I wanted to, let me go back to suicide. I guarantee you, in most of the cases of suicide, 90% of them are caused by alcohol. I see it all the time. For those who drink alcohol, I'm sorry to judge you, you know. I think I'm qualified. My parents were alcoholics. I grew up with them. I had my own difficulty with alcohol, and I finally shook it. This Labor Day weekend will be 30 years without a drop. Do I hear any applause out there? Thank you very much. But let me tell you about alcohol, even just a little bit. And you have free will, okay? And this is just my opinion, so you can take it or leave it. I'm not going to judge you, but I'm just putting it out there. There's a demon called demon alcohol, and he's very real. Demons are real, my friends, just like angels are, you know. I know you believe in angels. So there are demons that interact in our plane of existence in a realm that that can go in and out of, just like angels can. So be very careful with alcohol, even if you think you got it under control. Doesn't work. It won't. It's going to cause you trouble and grief and ruin your life. I've seen it ruin many people's lives, including my parents. My mother drank until the day she died, okay? Does that qualify me to talk about this a little bit, perhaps? Not meaning to be judgmental, you know, but I kicked the habit. You could do it too. The world will be a better place. And hey, don't you want to make the world a better place for future generations of human beings, children, etc.? Yeah. We live in a world of untruth, my friends. We need to try to find the truth. And out there is the Supreme Creator who made everything, the Big Bang. The Supreme Creator is different than the co-creator gods in galaxies and on the suns of solar systems. My friends, you, all of you out there, you listening to BBS Radio, people from around the world, in Germany, Africa, Kenya, Russia, Israel, Qatar, India, Guam, Japan, Australia, hey, Australia, China, Philippines, Canada, Vietnam, Mexico, Venezuela, and all the other countries around the world. You are a potential God. You are a co-creator God apprentice. Whether you realize it or not, when you die, you are going to continue living in the spirit and with your soul. The soul is the brain of the spirit. And you will have fun. Hopefully you'll go to heaven. You won't go to a dark place, yeah. You'll be doing good things. I know you are. You're doing good things, right? You're being kind to your fellow human beings. You're saying good things. You're giving to charities. You pray. You believe in God. You don't abuse women. You don't abuse anybody. That will get you to heaven. So you're going to continue through the process of reincarnation to one day be a co-creator God. That is the Supreme Creator's plan, put into effect with the Big Bang and the creation of one solar system after another, one galaxy after another. The suns of each solar system are the spirit world. It is a sacred light, my friend. It's more than just the fire, don't you know? It's a sacred, beautiful fire. It burns day in and day out. It's the fire of God, okay? But, as I told you before on other radio shows, the spirit that we have inside our body is made of light energy, and the spirit can exist in fire, just like you've heard about and read about the bad people that go to hell and burn in hellfire. Well, the opposite of that is the sun. You see it over there in the distance. It's a world of light, home of the spirit. Don't you feel it? Spirits return to the light. The only light that I know is one up there in the sky. Hey, heaven's on fire, just like that song by Kiss, didn't you know? Heaven's on fire. Changing the subject. Gay people, you are awesome. I saw RuPaul's drag queen competition. Oh, I was so impressed with these people. They, in my opinion, are real, more real than most people. They are, and I'm not judging them, you know, because I'm not the first one to throw a stone, you know. I've sinned in my life. We've all sinned. You know, we can't throw that first stone at them, can we? You know what I'm saying? They are born that way. As I mentioned in other shows, and I can see these people. Most of the time, I recognize the spirit of an opposite sex inside their body. So with a male, I can see that female spirit in them, or a female, I can see the male spirit in them. Because, yes, that happens for various reasons. One reason may be because in a previous lifetime, they might have abused a member of the opposite sex. So then they come back in the next life in the body of, because usually spirits are predominantly more male and more female. So myself, I think, am a male spirit. And when we get to the spirit realm, then we'll be predominantly more one sex than another. So I'll be predominantly more male than a female, even though I think we have a little bit the other sex in us. You know what I mean? So these gay people, if you want to call them that, and transgender, I can see the spirit in them, and it's usually the opposite sex. Not always, but some people just like to experiment, and that's okay. But don't you see their spirits and souls? Embrace them. Don't make fun of them. Just like you, they are trying to live their lives and determine right from wrong. In case you didn't realize that, knowing right from wrong, and you're all doing that right, is a lifelong process, my friends. Love understands. Hate doesn't listen. Oh, and remember, you who are of different religions, that he who is without sin cast the first stone. And that means no one, right? I'm not fooled. Even if you were sinless, my friends, you wouldn't judge people, period, right? Because the more sinless you are, the more you appreciate the soul in a person who is on an eternal journey, not just in this lifetime, but in future lives as well. And the more you will adore your fellow human being, the smarter you are, the more you will adore them, regardless of how they were born, okay? So, here's a couple of words put together that sounds really cool. Star power. Do you have star power, my friends? You know, we've been evolving here as human beings on this planet for many, 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 many centuries, right? And there's been a lot of evil, right? Or shall I say, a lot of badness. Not goodness, the opposite of goodness. War. Does anyone know how many wars we've had around the world, not just here in the United States? A lot. Killing. For no good reason. Of men, women, children. But we are evolving, people. The killing, the abuse, the discrimination, the suffering is decreasing. Not going away, unfortunately, but decreasing, my friends. The future is bright. Things are looking up. So, got some other notes here. Changing the subject. Ask more questions, my friend. Ask more. Hollywood. Okay, I got a rant at Hollywood here. Again, they immerse us in fantasy worlds. Fantasy immersion is characteristic of a civilization in the lower stages of evolution, my friends. No wonder the extraterrestrials out there don't want to make contact with us, because we prefer to watch these movies that Hollywood makes, like Jurassic World. Hey, you know, I think I know that there are dinosaurs on other planets around the universe. If you came face to face with a real Tyrannosaurus Rex, I guarantee you, you'd be frightened. But what are they trying to do with these movies? Us. I don't want to be frightened. Do you want to be frightened? What, do you see any value of being frightened? Having them scare us? I'm getting a little tired of it, actually. And this fantasy violence, you know, people getting ripped apart by dinosaurs. Is that good for our minds, and seeing that blood and gore? Aren't you getting tired of that? Now, I realize that We need releases. We need rest. And one way to rest is to watch these movies, and it kind of takes us away, and we see the actors and actresses that we know of from before, and that's okay. We like them. We love them. You know, we relate to them. They're role models for us. They're very talented and skilled. But I see no future in these fantasy violence movies, my friends. I'm saying this to Hollywood. Hollywood, are you out there? Listen to me, please. We people are getting tired of all these fantasy violence movies that you're making. When the real thing happens in real life, we say, whoa, that's quite a difference between fantasy and reality. Reality. Now, if you want to talk reality, you know, like maybe you could think about Jesus Christ when he walked this earth, that he had bowel movements and he used to urinate. Well, that's reality. It's a little example of reality. But fantasy, these fantasy violence movies with people getting killed, that does us no good. Please, Hollywood, are you listening? You need to make some more movies based on true life stories. And these actors and actresses that you have, they're beautiful, we love them. Their talents can be used in other ways with these other movies, telling stories about real life people, real life stories. And there's so much potential there. Hollywood has all this technology at their access, special effects that could help to create beautiful movies like Heaven is for Real or The Miracles from Heaven. Other movies that talk about heaven, near-death experiences. There is so much potential in that, my friends, because it happens to people all the time. It's been happening for thousands of years. And now, with all this technology that Hollywood has, I guarantee you, Hollywood, if you create a movie about a really powerful near-death experience or an alien abduction, I'm not talking about a negative one. I'm talking about positive alien encounter, because they're out there. If they wanted to destroy us, they could have, because they control antimatter. And one drop of antimatter could blow this world up into pieces, just like the asteroid built us between Jupiter and Mars. That's what happened once upon a time. Didn't you know that? Think about it. All those rocks, they call it the asteroid belt. There used to be a planet there. Anyway, my point is, they're not violent. They're very, very, very intelligent. Very evolved. They want to meet us, but they know that we're still in the lower stages of evolution and all this warfare that's been going on. We're borderline, you know, there's a lot of good people in the world, good, decent, moral people, people who are artistic, who love music, who are kind to each other. About 80% of the people in the world are that way, but 20% are the tyrants and the dictators and the bullies who need to be isolated, put on their own separate island, and let them fight it out and see who exists. But Hollywood, please, I understand you're making money, and that's a good thing, because we all need to make money. But I'm not fooled. These fantasy violence movies, they serve no good purpose. They're not good for our mind. I don't want to be scared. I don't want to see somebody ripped apart by a Tyrannosaurus Rex. I don't want to see John Wick 3 kill 100 more people. Instead, use Keanu Reeves or whoever, Tom Cruise, Tom Hanks. Create some movies about real-life stories, near-death experiences, positive alien encounters. Get in touch with reality, please, Hollywood. Fantasy is leading us down a dangerous road, a road of destruction, a dead-end road. Yeah? Can you feel it? Help us get in touch with reality. There's millions and millions of beautiful people out there with real stories. Use those talented, beautiful actors and actresses you have in a good way. Change things around. Help make the world a better place. Please, Hollywood. Do it for future generations of children. Please. You can still make your money. Because I guarantee you, if you create another movie like Heaven is for Real, which did very well, right? It can only go up. It can only get better. With your special effects and the great acting, the future looks bright. Please, do it. I'm running out of time here, my friends. I've only got a few minutes left. I hope you've enjoyed my show. CBS Radio, thank you very much. It's a good medium to have. As I mentioned, I'm reaching out all over the world. I haven't decided whether or not I'm going to allow or have, not allow, but have, people calling in. How about the next show? Maybe the next show, which will be in 2 weeks' time. My friends, what I do on the Saturday that I'm not having my show is I go to this apartment complex that my wife and I have rented. We rented apartments there. And I have karaoke Saturday evenings. And so we signed a 1-year contract. And we kind of wish we hadn't done it now because it's $1,700 a month. And we didn't realize what we were getting into. But still, I think we can afford it. We haven't been spending a lot of time over there, but I have been doing my karaoke every 2 weeks, every Saturday at 7 to 9 p.m. And really what that's turned into, and the last time we had about 12 people there, and these are older folks, you know, it's a retirement community, a retirement complex. And there's some really neat people, beautiful people there that come and participate, you know. And really what that's turned into is nothing more than pulling up all these old videos on YouTube from whoever people want to hear or see, you know. Could be Johnny Mathis, Paul Anka, Temptations, The Beatles, Waylon Jennings, Willie Nelson, anyone you could think of. There's millions. There's got to be millions of videos on YouTube. And so we have a good time. The last time, there were a few people who sang some karaoke songs. You know, I pulled those up for them. And I've got it kind of mastered. And as I mentioned to you at the beginning of the show, I don't want to do karaoke anymore. I like a cappella theme. Do you like my song? That sound good? So I'm working on improving that. And I think there's a future in it for me. And I already feel better. But these karaoke sessions that I have, they've become very interesting. And after the lease expires in the apartment complex, I don't know if I'll go back there. I haven't thought about it, really. Anyway, I'm running down in time. I think my wife and I are going to go out tonight. We're going to go to Gold's Gym. I'm going to get back into Zumba, I think. I mentioned my last show that I hurt my ankle. My ankle's almost better now. So, my friends, don't forget one other thing. You're future gods. You are gods. You're going to be a god. You have a heart that beats independently of your will. Lungs that purify your blood. You have a brain. You have millions of miles of veins running throughout your body. You are alive. You are going to be a future god. So please believe when I tell you that. That is the creator, supreme creator's plan for us to be co-creator gods with him, her. We can have our own solar system. I know that might sound strange, but think about it. We're part of a solar system now on this planet that's rotating on an axis, revolving around the sun. sun. The sun is the matrix of the solar system, the center. It's where the power comes from to rotate and revolve our planet. And as I mentioned, our spirits made of light energy. They can live in fire. That sun that you see over there in the distance, 93 million miles away, is a sacred, sacred light. It is the fire of God. It's not the kind of fire that you look at when you flip a match, you know, although similar. But it's a nuclear fire. It's a very special fire. It's a beautiful fire. It's a sacred light. So, my friends, dream of peace, please, for the future. Future is in our evolution, our spiritual development. So don't be afraid. Be courageous. This is the home of the brave, and around the world, we're all brave human beings to be here, really, on this planet. And what we experience on a day-to-day basis, you know, driving around the freeways, there's so much danger. Hang in there, my friends. You are a brave soul and a spirit, all of you, and your future God. Don't forget that, please. I love you. Here's a quick prayer to the Supreme Creator. Supreme Creator, Master of the Universe, how awesome thou art. Please send your Holy, Holy Spirit to blow over us like a warm summer breeze. Thank you for the miracles of all creation. Thou who created something from nothing, Master, you are awesome and magnificent. We praise you. We will praise you forever. My prayer is for myself and for everyone listening and for everybody around the world, good and bad. Please bless us, everyone. Everyone. Bless us, everyone. Please. My friends, I hope to talk to you in about 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, Blake will be saying goodbye.